I a soldier of the cross, a father of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? On the sea
of Galilee,
my Jesus is walking on the sea.
On the sea of Galilee,
my Jesus is walking on the sea. Must I be carried to the sky on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sail through bloody seas?
On the sea of Galilee,
my Jesus is walking on the sea.
On the sea of Galilee,
my Jesus is walking on the sea. There shall I bathe my weary soul in seas of heavenly rest.
On the sea of Galilee,
my Jesus is walking on the sea.
On the sea of Galilee,
my Jesus is walking on the sea.
Amen. Thank you very much. I want you to take your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 3, please. The book of Matthew chapter 3. And I want to give you part two to the message of John the Baptist. I presented this message, started it last Sunday night, and we're going to, God willing, get through it this morning on John the Baptist. We're preaching through the book of Matthew in the New Testament, preaching through the book of Ruth in the Old Testament, and then our topical series are Bible Valleys. We've come back to our New Testament book today, and we're in Matthew chapter 3. Just going to read one phrase in chapter 3, verse 1, because there's a lot I need to get to today. Relax, I'll try to get you out of here fairly soon, okay? Notice I said fairly soon. I didn't say soon. I said fairly soon, all right? Matthew chapter 3, verse number 1, the opening phrase. In those days came John the Baptist. I'm preaching to you on part 2 of John the Baptist. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Help us today. Forgive my sins, help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. I pray, Lord God, that you'll be our invited guest. I thank you for the music today. Thank you for everything that's happened. But I pray for this time, which is the main time, the preaching of the Word of God. I pray that you'll help me to be faithful to your Word, not to add to it or take away from it, but simply open the Bible and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Speak to our hearts. Help me, I pray. Speak to me. Speak through me, I beg. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now, in our study through the book of Matthew, we have come to this chapter, chapter number 3. In the opening 12 verses of this chapter, we have a man named John the Baptist that's introduced for our consideration. Now, I've decided that as we come to a portion of Scripture in Matthew, we will consider what all the other Gospels say according to it. In other words, every Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, brings out some kind of an aspect about the coming here of John the Baptist. Now, this being the case, the first chapter of Luke tells us that John was born to Zacharias and Elizabeth, who were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. The angel appeared to Zacharias and told him that his prayer was heard, and he and his wife were going to have a baby boy to name John. Then the angel of the Lord said that John would be great in the sight of the Lord. As a matter of fact, Jesus said concerning John the Baptist in Luke 7:28, he said, "Among those that are born of women, there's not a greater prophet than John the Baptist." What a wonderful statement considering all the Old Testament prophets that had been on the scene, such as Elijah, Daniel, Elisha, and on we could go. We see that John was the last of the Old Testament prophets, and was the first cousin to the Lord Jesus Christ. He had his raiment or his clothing of camel's hair and a leathern girdle and ate locust and wild honey. In other words, if you looked out your blinds today and saw John the Baptist, you'd probably say, honey, lock all the doors, shut all the windows. Here he comes. Who in the world is that? He looked like he crawled out from under a rock somewhere. All I'm saying to you is that John the Baptist was not a man who was concerned about his physical appearance. He was not a man who was excited about this world. He was excited about the things of Almighty God. Now we're looking at John the Baptist together. I've given you 3 points, and I'm currently under point number 3. Let me go back and emphasize. Number one, the first thing we saw about John the Baptist, if you want this, it's on the internet, go get it, or you can request it. Number one, we've noticed John the Baptist's prophecy. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 3, verse 3, we'll just stay here for time's sake, since I've already preached this, but in chapter 3, notice it, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." We see that the birth of John the Baptist, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, was prophesied over 700 years before John was born. However, we see that that prophecy was fulfilled here in the birth of John the Baptist in the book of Luke chapter number 1. The second thing we noticed about John the Baptist, this is all repeat, so I know I'm rapid fire right now. Stay with me. I'll slow down in just a minute. Number 2, we noticed John the Baptist's purpose. We saw that in John chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 and verse 15, where the Bible says that he was not that light, capital L, but he came to bear witness of that light. So we saw his purpose was to point people to Jesus Christ. And we see that that's your purpose, and it's also my purpose. The third thing that we're currently under when we're studying John the Baptist is we're studying, number one, his prophecy, number two, his purpose, but number three, his preaching. Make no mistakes about it, John the Baptist was a preacher. Make no mistake about it. I mean, God give us more John the Baptist today. Matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching." And I'm telling you that preaching is God's idea. We see this in Jonah 3, verse 2, Matthew 4, 17, Matthew 10, 7, 27, Mark 3, 14, Mark 16, 15, Acts 5, 42, 1 Corinthians 1, 17, 1 Corinthians 9, 16, 2 Timothy 4, 2, Matthew 9, 35, and 1 Corinthians 1, 21. I know it's rapid fire, but listen, I've already preached on all this. I'm just bringing you back up to date here. The first thing we noticed about John the Baptist preaching, this is where I left off, we noticed that his preaching exalted Christ. Now, if you'll notice in chapter 3, verse number 11, he said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." We see this again in Mark chapter 1, verse 7, Luke chapter 3, verse 16. Mark 1, 7 says, "And came preaching, and said, there cometh one mightier than I after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to stoop down and unloose." Where we picked up here and where we left off is in John chapter 1, whenever they said, "John, are you him? Are you Elijah? Are you the Messiah?" And John the Baptist stepped back and said, "All I am is a voice crying in the wilderness." And he's basically in his preaching exalting Christ. And folks, I'm telling you, that's what real preaching is. Real preaching is not about exalting man. It's not about exalting entertainment. It's about exalting the Lord Jesus Christ through his written word. Now, that's what I preached on last Sunday night. So let me slow down. Now, you realize I probably won't slow down, but I'm going to attempt to slow down here. Number two, we're looking at his preaching. Number one, it exalted Christ. Number two, here's where we pick up today. It emphasized key things. His preaching emphasized key things. Now, as we consider the preaching of John, now we're going to be flipping. You don't need to flip. You need to stay right here in Matthew. I'm going to be flipping to the other Gospels. But we see that his preaching emphasized some very key elements. There's 5 things he emphasized in his preaching. And I'm going to give you these 5 things today. Number one, John the Baptist preaching emphasized repentance. We see this in Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Look at it. He came preaching in verse 1, saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." In Mark chapter 1, you don't turn to these places for time's sake, but in Mark chapter 1, verse number 4, it says, "John did baptize in the wilderness and preach the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." The word repent, right here in Matthew chapter number 3, verse number 2, this word is metanoio. Now you say, "Jody, what in the world's that?" It's the original word, which means to turn around. It means to change one's thinking concerning God and one's own conduct of life. It is a determination, I get this, it is a determination to abandon sin. Let me say here that in today's preaching, we must be careful not to preach salvation as just an escape hatch from the pit of hell. Stay here with me now. If one doesn't want to go to hell, but doesn't want to give up their sin, there's a problem there. In order for one to truly be saved, there must be repentance. The Bible says in Matthew 4:17, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Mark 1:15, "And saying, 'The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel.'" Mark 6:12, "And they went out and preached that men should repent." Luke 13:3, "I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Acts 17:30, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." You show me somebody walking down an aisle and they want to be saved, but they're popping their bubble gum, blowing bubbles and making a big joke out of it and say, "I just want to escape hell." That person will never be saved, because I'm telling you that until you say, "I don't want my sin, I want Jesus," you'll never be saved. This is Bible repentance. And the first thing that John the Baptist emphasized in his preaching is he didn't say, "Believe first." He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven is at hand." I ask you, have you ever repented of your sin? The Bible doesn't say repent to believe. It says repent and believe the gospel. Have you ever been confronted with your sin and said, "I don't want that. I want Jesus"? If that's never happened to you, you've never been saved. Amen. I'll amen my own preaching today, because that's Bible doctrine, my friends. He emphasized repentance. There's a man who said true repentance has a double aspect. It looks upon things past with a weeping eye and upon the future with a watchful eye. In other words, it looks back saying, "I'm ashamed of that." But it looks forward saying, "I'm looking forward to that." Now, I'm telling you, have you ever truly repented of your sin? Now, folks, all that means is that when you're confronted with your sin, you realize that sin will send you to hell, and you don't want to go to hell. You want to go to heaven, and you trust Christ as your Savior. It's not that you look at it and say, "I'm going to do a better job. I'm going to live a better life. I'm going to get baptized. I'm going to do this." No, it's realizing that with that sin in your life, you need something a whole lot bigger than your sin. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. He emphasized repentance. And there's a second thing he emphasized. He emphasized the coming of the Lord. We see this in verses 2 and 3. Notice it. "And saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight.'" Look at verse number 11. "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I." He that cometh after me, he said. Look at, don't look at it. Just listen to me here as I flip through these other gospels. In Mark chapter 1, verses 3 and 7, it says, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse number 7, preach saying, there cometh one mightier than I after me, whose latchet the latch of whose shoes I'm not worthy to stoop down and unloose. The Bible says in Luke chapter 3, verse number 3 and verse 4 and 16 says this. It says, that is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Verse 16, John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I'm not worthy to unloose. In John chapter 1, verse number 15, here's what it says. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Verse 23 says this. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah, verse number 27. He it is whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to loose. I'll tell you a major thing he emphasized in his preaching. He emphasized that the Lord Jesus was coming. That's what he emphasized. I'm telling you that he emphasized that the Lord was right behind him getting ready to step on the scene. Notice how he said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Folks, listen, this kingdom could only be made possible with the coming of Messiah. That's the only way it could be. So what he's saying when he says this, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, he's saying Jesus is coming, the Messiah is coming, he's on his way. That's what he's saying here. And we see that when we see him mentioning these verses, how there's one coming after him who he's not worthy to unloose his shoes latchet. And all of this, we see how John pointed people to the fact that the lovely Son of God was about to step on the scene. You know, in the same way, we need to rejoice that Jesus Christ did come on the scene in John's day. He did come. In other words, he was saying, there's coming one after me. And we'll see in the next portion that we preach on that he'll see that one coming after him. He's saying he's coming. And folks, he came just like John the Baptist said. He stepped on the scene. He's getting ready to step on the scene here in the next time we preach in the book of Matthew. But the emphasis I'm trying to make here is that we also should be emphasizing in our preaching and our teaching. We also should be emphasizing that just like John knew he was coming, and he did, we also know he's coming again, and he will. The Bible teaches this in the book of John chapter number 14. Again, you don't need to turn to this for time's sake. Just let me turn. The Bible says, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and following says this, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Revelation 3:11, Jesus said, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:12, and behold, I come quickly. Revelation 22:20, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm glad today that this is not the end. I'm glad that today could be the day when Jesus Christ splits the eastern sky. You know what John the Baptist did? He emphasized some things in his preaching. Bible preaching emphasizes some things. It exalts Christ all the way through,
and it emphasizes things that draw people to him. He emphasized repentance towards God. Then he emphasized the kingdom of heaven is at hand. There's one mightier than I coming after me. He didn't say he might come, he said he is coming. And I'm telling you, just like John the Baptist said he is coming, and he did, you know he's already said he's coming back again. And we ought to emphasize when we get behind the sacred desk that Jesus Christ is coming. He's coming. Glory to God, Jesus Christ is coming back again. He emphasized the coming of the Lord. Then there's a third thing he emphasized. He emphasized not only repentance and the coming of the Lord, he emphasized believers' baptism. Don't swallow your false teeth here now. Because somebody says, wait a minute, it said baptism of repentance. But there's no contradictions in the Word of God, folks. So he's not emphasizing baptism to be saved. He's emphasizing don't come unless you've repented. You say, prove it. Thank you for asking me. Are you ready for it? Here we go now. You need to understand this. You need to understand that the Bible does not say one thing here and another thing here. Now let me show you what I'm talking about. Notice in Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Look at verse number 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Underline the word unto. Would you do that? Because we're coming back to it. Unto repentance. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 4, here's what Mark says. John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sin. You can underline that word for there if you're following me here. I know you don't have to, but if you want to, you can. Luke chapter 3, verses 3 and 7 says this. The Bible says, and he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Verse number 7. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance. Begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. We're looking at this together now. Look at in verse number 10. And the people ask him, saying, what shall we do then? He answereth and saith unto them, he that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise. Here's what I'm saying to you. I'm saying that John is emphasizing baptism after salvation. Now stay with me here. Stay with me here. In John chapter 1, verses 25 and 26, here's what John says. It says, and they asked him and said unto him, why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. Now, here it is. We see here how it's identified as the baptism of repentance. In other words, they were not to be baptized unless they had repented. Now, stay with me here. The Word of God tells us that it was unto repentance or for the remission of sins. Now, it's interesting that this word unto and word for can also mean upon or because of. Did you hear what I just said? In other words, let's read it this way, because this is what it's meaning here. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance because of the remission of sins. Upon the remission of sins. In other words, he's not teaching you get baptized to be saved. He's teaching you get baptized because you've already repented and you've already been saved. For instance, if a driver's driving too fast, there's blue light shining behind him. He's not going to give you a ticket. Hey, he gives you a ticket for speeding, doesn't he? Does that mean he gave it to you so you can speed? Or because you had been speeding? It's not a trick question. Hey, you got a ticket for speeding. Baptism is for the remission of sin. That word means because of. It means this: you got a ticket because you were speeding. You didn't get a ticket so he gives you a license to go speed. Somebody doesn't get a Medal of Honor so they go be brave. They get a Medal of Honor for bravery. They get a Medal of Honor because they were already brave. And I'm telling you that he's saying, if you have been saved, follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But here's where the rubber meets the road. In the book of John, here's what he says. These Pharisees come. They want to be baptized. The Bible teaches us that. They want to be baptized of John. John looks at him and says, Who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He said, you bring forth fruits meet for repentance first. Read it yourself. That's exactly what he's talking about. You know what he's saying? I will not baptize you because you are unbelievers. That's what he's doing. I'm telling you, he's emphasizing believers' baptism. And I'm telling you, listen, it is still the Word of God that once somebody has been saved, they ought to be baptized. But it's not to be saved, it's because of salvation. Aren't you glad you didn't have to get baptized to go to heaven? Hey, if you had to get baptized, that is a work, my friend. And I'm telling you, if you had to get baptized, the thief on the cross has a lot of problems. And something else. You know what some people say? Well, that was Jesus who saved the thief on the cross. Really? Who saved you? Really? They have to teach two different salvations. They have to. How else could Jesus say, today you will be with me in paradise? Our Bible doesn't say they took him off the cross and baptized him. Now, I'm not belittling baptism because you ought to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But I'm emphasizing and I'm blowing the roof off of it. You do not have to be baptized to go to heaven. It's because of salvation. It's not in order for salvation. And I'm telling you, folks, now listen to me. John 3:16, John 3:36, John 5:24, John 6:47, and on we could go. Are you listening to me? The Bible says if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everlasting life. That's present tense. You have it now. There's some people who will teach you that you have to believe in Jesus, and then you will receive the Holy Ghost at baptism. Are you listening to me? The Bible says if you don't have His Spirit, you're none of His. So those people are teaching that only Christ's death was halfway good enough. If you believe you have to be baptized, then the death of Christ was insufficient. It wasn't enough. The word sufficient means enough. It doesn't mean that you're belittling the death of Christ, but it means that you're saying it took Christ's death, burial, and resurrection plus my following the Lord in baptism. Everybody follow me here? The last I checked, it's not by works of righteousness, the book of Titus says. And I'm telling you, I'm not belittling the water baptism, but I'm belittling the daylights out of it if somebody says you have to be baptized to go to heaven. Acts 2:38 is one of the big ones they do. For the remission of sin. Guess what that word for means in that verse? Because of. Amen. I'm telling you, by the way, what is this? This is doctrinal teaching. That's what it is. I'm telling you, he emphasized something. What did he emphasize? He emphasized repentance to be saved. He emphasized that the Lord is coming back. He emphasized that he would not baptize unless they had repented first. Believer's baptism. Then he emphasized something else. He emphasized holy living. Preacher gets scared to death to preach on holy living, you know. But you know it's still in the Bible. And you know, if Jesus Christ lives in you, is he holy? Is he, yes or no? And he said for us to give him our bodies as a living sacrifice. So if we give him our bodies as a living sacrifice, guess what our life's going to be? It's going to be holy. Because if he's truly living through us, he's in us if we're saved, but if he's living through us, we'll do what he does, go where he goes, say what say what he would say, think what he would think. You understand what I'm saying? Let me show you what John said. Matthew chapter 3, verse 3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. You say, what's that mean? He's saying, get the crooked things out of your life. He's saying he's coming. You make sure when he comes, he finds you straight as an arrow. Amen. I'm telling you what, you're going to tell me, hey, would the average Baptist church put up with John the Baptist? I don't know if he would or not. Hallelujah. It says in verses 7 and 9, look at this. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. That's unkind, isn't it? Wasn't that, that's a little bit unfriendly. He's going a little bit overboard there, isn't he? He said, you bunch of snakes. That's what he's saying here. He said, O generation, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Then he said basically the same thing in the book of Luke, but he goes a little bit further. In Luke chapter 3, verse 10, it says, And the people ask him, saying, What shall we do then? He answereth and said unto them, He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. He that hath meat, let him do likewise. Then came also the publicans to be baptized, and said, Master, what shall we do? And he said unto them, Exact no more than that which is appointed you. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, And what shall we do? And he said unto them, Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. John chapter 1, verse number 23, puts it this way. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. Now in all of this, where he said, make straight the way of the Lord, and all this, whenever he saw these Pharisees and Sadducees coming, he said, oh, you generation of snakes. He said, who's warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And he said, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And then he followed up and said, don't you tell people that you're going to heaven because your ancestors, Abraham. He said, because God can take a stone and make him a child to Abraham. You know what he's saying? Just because you have his blood running in your veins, that doesn't make you a child of God. You don't rely on family relations. You don't rely on your ancestry. You don't rely on your mom and dad being saved or your grandma and granddaddy. Just because your daddy's saved doesn't mean you are. That's what he's telling them here. And he's saying this, in all of this, he is emphasizing, if you have truly repented, it'll show it. It'll show up in your life. He's telling these Pharisees and Sadducees, you're coming to be baptized. Look at the life you're living. You're not proving that you've repented. Now, you say, Jody, he sounds like a hard man. You better believe it. You better believe it. But he had the truth, you see, folks. And when you have the truth, you can be passionate about it. I hope I'm passionate about the truth. That if you're saved, your life should show it. Amen. The Bible teaches this. They were relying on their ancestry, and he was trying to tell them, listen, you prove your repentance by the way you live. He said, bring forth fruits, meat worthy of repentance. He's saying, if you're saying you repented, prove it. Prove it by the life you're living. It ought to change your life. And he's saying, I will not baptize you until you do so. Powerful here. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now I preached on this when I preached through the book of James, because that is a text that some people try to teach work salvation. But when you rightly understand that text, I encourage you to go back and get it. If you rightfully understand that text, it means this. It doesn't mean that you work for salvation. It means that true faith works. It means if you truly believe in Christ, it will bear fruit. It may be some 10, some 30, some 100, but none of it will be zero. If you show me somebody says, oh, I'm a Christian, but they are constantly denying the Lord, 2 Timothy, read it for yourself. Jesus said, if you deny, listen, Paul said, God speaking through him, if you deny him, he will also deny you. And that word deny is in the present tense, now. Which means, is it possible for Christians to deny God? Yes. We know that because Peter did, remember? But he did not stay in that state. Amen. He denied three times, but then you flip to the book of Acts and see what he's doing. He's preaching at Pentecost. And he, listen, the one who he denied just a little while ago, he steps up and says, "You wicked people, this Jesus who you crucified, he is God." See, he didn't stay in that state of denial. But you show me somebody says, "Oh, I prayed a prayer when I was a kid," but they never show any faith, they never show any fruit, they never show any works that prove that they have been saved, and they are constantly in that state of denial, constantly, 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 they've never been saved. They're settling for a fraud. Now that should not cause doubt. The last thing a preacher should do is cause doubt. Here's what I'm saying to you. If you've been saved and you know it, there's some kind of fruit in your life. Notice the Bible doesn't say how much, but there will be some. Can you get by with sin? I can't. I mean, the Lord just convicts me, but that doesn't mean that I'm holding myself up as the ultimate guide. I'm simply saying this. If you can do anything you want to do, anytime you want to do it, you never get convicted, all these kind of things, you can live your life and you don't care anything about God, don't care anything about His Word, don't care anything about preaching, don't care anything about that, and you could take it or leave it and you stay in that state and you could care less. Don't rely on a little prayer you prayed 2 years ago, because it could be that you didn't repent. Now, I hope I'm not confusing you. God knows I don't want to confuse. But I'm simply telling you that what he emphasized here, he said, if you have repented, prove it. That's what he's saying. Make sure that those things that are crooked are made straight. And all this we see John is emphasizing, that those who are truly repentant should prove it by the way they live. Leviticus 27, sanctify yourselves therefore and be ye holy, for I am the Lord your God. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now I'm just about done here. Right there is how many notes I've got, and you know how fast I preach, so that won't take me but just maybe 15 seconds. I'm kidding, okay? There's a fifth thing that he emphasized. He emphasized repentance. He emphasized the coming of the Lord. He emphasized believers' baptism and holy living. But the last thing he emphasized, we see he emphasized judgment. We see this in chapter 3, verse 7 of Matthew. He said, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Then in verses 10 to 12, notice it. And now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Verse 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now in this, and this comes out again in Luke chapter 3, but in these verses we see John the Baptist emphasizing the coming judgment of Jesus Christ. He tells the Pharisees and Sadducees to flee from the wrath to come. Then he mentions how the Lord will cut down the bad trees and cast them into the fire. Then he says he's going to thoroughly purge his floor. And he said he's going to gather his wheat and he's going to burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In this, he's emphasizing the Lord as a hewer of wood and a husbandman of wheat. In this, we see John the Baptist stressing that the Lord is going to be judging us someday and sending to the fire those who have refused to repent and believe the gospel. Now, in this, we see in 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 9, and do you who are troubled rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Mark 9, 47 and 48, and if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. My friend, now listen, if you are his wheat, and if you are a good tree, you know what a good tree is? Bearing fruit. which all good trees will. If you're saved, you will bear fruit. He doesn't say it'll be that, that, or that, but you will have fruit in your life. He doesn't say you're going to be perfect, but it means that you will bear evidence some form or fashion. Amen now. And here's how John ends his message. The Lord is going to come with his fan in his hand. He's going to sweep his floor. He's going to gather his wheat. The chaff is going to be in it. And he's just going to start doing this. And the chaff is going to start blowing away. But if you're his wheat, you'll fall right back into his fan. So there's great assurance here for a child of God. If you're wheat, you're safe. If you're bearing fruit, you're safe. I'm talking about if you're saved, truly born again. But if you're not, John says, listen, if you're a bad tree and you've never repented, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, he's going to take his axe and he's going to chop you down. And he's going to throw you in the fire. I don't think John cared what anybody thought of him. What do you think? But you know this is the same kind of preaching we need today. He emphasized, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He emphasized, the Lord is coming. He's coming. He emphasized, don't rely on baptism, but once you're truly saved, you ought to follow the Lord in baptism. He emphasized in all of his preaching, oh, my friends, how he emphasized that if you're truly repentant, prove it. Let God have your life. And then he said, I have one final word. The great farmer is coming. The great axe man is coming. And if you are his tree, he'll leave you alone. But if you are not his tree, he's going to cut you down. If you're his wheat, you're fine. But if you're chaff, you're going to blow away into eternal fire. Not easy to preach this way, but it's truthful preaching. May the Lord speak to all of us. John the Baptist, his prophecy, his purpose, his preaching. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love you today. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to emphasize what you emphasize. Help us to see what John the Baptist is emphasizing here. Help us to be obedient to you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. John the Baptist, what a wonderful man. Mightily used of God. And in this message, we considered his prophecy, purpose, and preaching. We saw how the Word of God is true. We saw how our purpose is the same as John's, to bear witness of Jesus Christ. We saw how John's preaching exalted Christ and emphasized repentance, holy living, judgment, among other things. Let us hear and heed these lessons today. Father, take these thoughts and use them. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to ask you this question. Have you truly repented of your sin? I mean, are you truly a born-again child of God? Or did you just hear a message and you say, you know, I don't want to go to hell, but I don't want to change either, but I'm just going to pray this prayer. I don't really mean it, but because I still want my sin, but I don't want to go to hell either. I want it both ways. If that's your salvation experience, you need to double check yourself, because without repentance, there's no remission of sins. Maybe you say, Jody, I'm glad that I've repented. I'm glad. I don't hope so. I don't think so. I know I'm not perfect, but I know that in my heart I've been saved. I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. I have repented of my sin. I have received the gospel. I realize it's not by works. It's not by baptism. I know it's all Jesus. And there was a time in my life when I wanted Jesus and I didn't want my sin. You say, thank God, I know I'm a Christian, I know I'm saved. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? By the way, if you got your hand raised, God bless you. Isn't it great to know that? Wonderful. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Is there one today say, Jody, I don't have that assurance? John the Baptist, these words that he spoke so many years ago are echoing in my heart today. And you say, Jody, I don't want to settle for a counterfeit. I've been confronted today with my sin. And I realize that I can never be saved unless I repent of my sin and ask Jesus to come into my heart. Is there one today say, Jody, would you pray for me? We're not going to come to your seat. We're not going to call you out. But you say, Jody, I want to make sure that I've been saved. I want to know that I wasn't playing games. I want to know that I've got the real deal. I want to know that I've truly been saved. Is there one like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Is there anybody like that? Anybody like that? My eyes are surfing. Eyes are looking. If there's not, wonderful. I trust that every one of you are saved. And if you are, great. Great. Have you say, Jody, I'm a Christian. God's speaking to me about the life I'm living. Oh, I'm saved. But I feel like I should be bearing more fruit than I am. I'm bearing fruit, but I feel like I should be bearing more fruit. If that's you, maybe God's speaking to you. Won't you come and talk to the Lord about it? And I want to close our invitation with this thought. How many of you all know somebody who is considered chaff? Chaff is anything that's not wheat. Chaff is something that if Jesus came back today, it would blow away and be burned up in the fire for eternity. Have you say, I'm wheat. Thank God I'm wheat, but I know some chaff. You say, thank God I've got some fruit on my tree. I'm saved. I'm born again. I know I'm not everything I should be, but I know I'm born again Christian. I'm proving it because there's proof in my life. But you say, I know some bad trees. I know some trees that if Jesus came today and had his axe in his hand that he would cut them down. Have you all know somebody like that? Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? You say, I know somebody like that. I know somebody who's a bad tree or chaff. Many, many hands. You can put your hands down. Thank you for being honest. If you raise your hand to that question, I'd like you to look right up here at me, please, if you wouldn't mind to do that. I don't do that unless there's a lot of people responding, and there's a lot of people responding to that. This is no doubt a salvation message. There's no doubt about that. Just preaching through the book of Matthew, but what a salvation message. But I wonder today, you know the great thing about God's trees? They can speak. You understand what I'm saying? God's trees can speak. And they can look at another tree and say, listen, you need the real deal. You need to be saved. You say, Jody, they may get upset with me. They may never speak to me again. Yes, but see, if you don't say anything, you'll never speak to them for all eternity. They'll be burning in hell. Had a dear gentleman yesterday in the hospital. Been praying for him. As soon as I began to share the gospel with him, the first thing I said is, God loves you, sir, and he broke. He started weeping immediately. Make a long story short, he prayed, and he asked Jesus Christ to come into his heart, forgive his sin, take him to heaven when he dies. 77 years old. And I asked him right before we left, I said, if you died just like you are now, where would you go? He looked in my face and he said, I'd go to heaven. God's still saving people, folks. Can you see? Matter of fact, I want all of you to look at me just a minute. I know I'm taking a little bit of time, but can't you see the picture that John the Baptist is painting? Is the Lord love? Sure he is. He died for the world. John said, I want you to see him in a different light. Can you see him coming with his axe in his hand? Can you see him rearing back, getting ready to chop that tree down that you raised your hand about a minute ago? Can you see him getting ready to chop them down? See, he is love, but if they reject him, he's also just. And the Bible says God is angry with the wicked.
What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? I want to ask you this question. We're going to pray here in just a minute. When's the last time you saw a soul walk the aisle in this church to trust Jesus Christ as their Savior? Let me tell you why. Because God's work is to be done outside these walls during the week. You know, my burden is for everybody in this church to start walking somebody down the aisle with them that they led to Christ that week. How many unsaved people that you know of will come to a church like this and walk the aisle in front of all these people? Not many. Not that it can't happen, because it does happen, and praise God for it. But a majority of people may trust Christ in a one-on-one setting, in the hospital, in their living room, at the workplace. Let's get busy. Amen. Aren't you glad somebody told you about the acts of God? If you don't trust Him, you're going to die without Him. Now we need to do something about it with others. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought. Use it in a great way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary singing. If God is speaking to you, maybe you just want to come and pray for that unsaved loved one. Whatever it is, if God's speaking to you, leave your place and come as He sings.
Just as I am without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
They're playing through softly. You can look this direction. This is Maurice Uribe, am I right? Maurice, we're glad you're here, buddy. No doubt about it. How old are you? 8 years old. My boy's eight. You're 8 years old, and you probably rode a bus today, am I right? And Maurice is coming today, and he's accepting Jesus Christ as his Savior. Aren't you glad for him? Say a big amen. We're happy for you. You know what that means? It means you're going to heaven when you die. And that's wonderful. We're so glad you're here. God bless you. We hope you'll stay in here with us, okay? Get back on the bus and come back and be with us. We'd love for you to stay with us here, all right? Tonight, we'll be back, God willing, in the book of Ruth. And we're excited about that. I hope you'll be back in your place at 6:30. Pre-service prayer meeting at 6. Pray for the John Sevier Center service at 4:30 if the Lord brings it to your mind. I want to give you a special prayer request. I hope you'll remember this. I meant to give it to you earlier, but I want you to remember the name Tucker Montgomery. This is Tanya and Richard's youngest son. If y'all remember the Montgomerys, would you raise your hand? Tucker was involved in a tragic football accident Friday night, and he had some brain injury. He had surgery on his brain early Saturday morning. He's up at Holston Valley, and I think it'd be great if some of you could just swing by there, let the family know you're praying for him. Still not out of the woods. Really not sure what all is going to happen until he comes out of it, opens his eyes and those kind of things. I guarantee you this, if it was your child, you'd want somebody praying for you, wouldn't you? Let's pray for him. Tucker Montgomery. Let's pray together, okay? I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you wouldn't mind to close us in prayer, please.